Our Old Testament lesson this morning is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John, section where Jesus is talking quite a bit about shepherds, missing sheep, and the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every year in this Sunday in the post-Easter season, the scriptures are full of references to shepherds and the good shepherd. Now, despite the fact that I pretty much was raised in the suburbs, I've learned a thing or two about sheep from spending time at my grandfather's farm in summers when we were growing up, and here's what I know. Overall, sheep don't care if they get dirty. They're generally covered with mud. Their wool can tangle about things and hold all kinds of, you know, burrs and seeds. And actually, I learned the best shepherds use woolite on their sheep before they shear them. We're told that lambs come forth with a gentle baa. Bigger sheep blurt a very disturbing baa, which led to some embarrassment because I was so startled by the volume, suddenness, and general demonic tone that I fell as I stepped away from the fence the first time I heard it. Sheep may start out cute, cuddly, and calming, but they rarely stay that way through adulthood. And a third thing I've learned is that sheep are either suicidal or stupid, and possibly both. One West Texas shepherd, Ed Winton, described them this way: sheep are just born looking for a way to die. And he can recall countless stories that involve sheep putting themselves in unnecessary peril, much of which could be avoided by doing something simple like turning around. And the other is that sheep are skittish near strangers because they fear predators. And in the face of perceived danger, they clump together. Jesus here is comparing us people to sheep. And before we get too insulted by that comparison, let us remember that like sheep, we people both startle others and can be startled by others. We at times can sound worse than we think as we speak to other people or react to what people have said. There are some people who involve themselves in all sorts of self-destructive behavior that cannot be escaped on their own. And we also fear the destructive behavior of predators or threats to our lives. A minister friend of mine lives and works in a neighborhood she sometimes called Leave It to Beaverland. And some of you are probably old enough to know that reference. It had seeming serenity and peace in rows and streets of nice suburban homes. But a new practice, she said, had become evident in the last, 10 years. Children no longer walk alone to the neighborhood elementary school. Every morning, a parade, mostly of mothers, some fathers, accompany their children on a short distance to school, dogs in tow and cell phones in hand. It looks like the practice of safety, but it's also clustering together in the face of potential predators because of fear. You just never know. Because it could happen anywhere. It could happen here. Because these parents have been parents during years of learning about school incidents. They know the statistics about the number of American children that are shot, stabbed, or killed, be it in neighborhoods or in schools. And fearing a predator, they now clump together to and from. In the soundtrack of the story of childhood in far too much of America reverberates with gunfire, with sobs of stunned classmates, grieving parents, with teen suicide, cyberbullying, and more. It's a soundtrack of fear. The fear is the newest neighbor at times, even in sunny Leave It to Beaverland. At the time John was speaking about the Good Shepherd, fear was a familiar neighbor to the people then also. John's community lived with the reality of harsh persecution and a threat of extinction. The first century Mediterranean world was itself a scary place. Periodic plagues swept through areas. For Christians, persecutions were heating up by the time John wrote his gospel. And the followers of Jesus were, in the eyes of Rome, just so many lambs waiting for the lion. The Jesus movement was still new, struggling to define itself against the threat of Rome and the threat of competing religions and philosophies from across the Mediterranean world. So they would meet together, and they would tell stories. Meeting under the cover of darkness at times, meeting in evenings, hidden from authorities, listening for the sound of local Roman boots, they told stories of Jesus to counter their fears. They told stories that helped them to name who they were, followers of Christ, to whom they belonged, the Good Shepherd, and whom they could trust, one another in the Spirit, as they were baptized into one family. They heard the story of the shepherd and the sheep. They remembered who they were. The metaphor of sheep and shepherding made sense to John's community. In ancient Palestine, custom was that shepherds brought the sheep of the village into a common sheepfold for the night. In the morning, in order to take their sheep out in the field for grazing, each shepherd had to separate his sheep from the common flock. Each sheep were named, and each shepherd had a particular distinctive way of calling the sheep in his flock. So each sheep would respond only to its own shepherd. And even if another shepherd called the sheep, it would not respond because it was in knowing the voice and the way of the call that counted, just as John assures us that Jesus knows us and we know his voice. Now, I can relate to that part of being a sheep, recognizing voices of those who care for me. Since it's Mother's Day, one voice I recognized in childhood I want to recognize is my mother's voice. Whether it sounded relatively quietly within the home or across a busy playground, I recognized it. I knew the voice of fun and the voice of concern. I knew the danger of warning me not to cross the street yet because there was a car coming, or not to run with scissors. And I knew the voice indicating when I'd gotten myself into trouble. I had a lot of opportunity to learn that one. For instance, when I was about 5 years old, I was over at a friend's house. His 14-year-old brother, who by being 14 was cool to us 5-year-olds, was on the phone with a friend and ended with the expression F you, although he used the full word. Now, Keith and I figured that must be the cool older brother way of saying goodbye. So that afternoon, as we played police and robbers in my backyard, we ended our pretend radio calls not with over and out, but with F you. They turned right on Main Street, F you, I'll head them off, F you. It was an occasion when I learned my mother's voice, but it was also another lesson for me. Did you know that moms develop superpowers under stress? That day, as far as I can tell, my mom teleported from the house to the backyard without any warning, and there she was, and boy, did I recognize that voice. It's the one that said, "You've gotten yourself in trouble." And she basically let me know that Keith's older brother was a bad shepherd to listen to. John's community also knew about good and bad shepherds. Bad shepherds who would not stay and face up to danger, who were only in it for themselves. They would run. And no doubt the people longed always for a good shepherd for their lives. And in John's telling of the Jesus story, they hear that Jesus is the good shepherd, the way of comfort and sustenance, abundance and strength, even in the face of death. They knew about the way of the good shepherd, and that was the way of love and not fear. They became people of the good shepherd. Early Christians began to scratch the image of the good shepherd, lamb slung over his shoulders on catacomb walls. As worship became more open and persecution ceased, and eventually Rome became Christian by edict of the emperor, they started painting frescoes on baptismal fonts to mark the beginning of life. They carved the Good Shepherd into tombs. They began to put frescoes up or tile mosaics in the places that they worshiped, and the Good Shepherd was a common image. The Good Shepherd became more than words for early Christians, more than an idea. It became in part their way of life, their very brand, to put it into modern terms. They were to live the way of the Good Shepherd. They knew that they belonged, but it didn't just stop there. The way of the Good Shepherd was the way of the wide embrace and the long reach. For as Jesus said, "I have other sheep and other folds, and I'm going to get them together too." Just as each one of those early believers had found a safe spot on the inside of their circle of belonging. So were they to include now ones at the edge and to reach out to new people. Just as they had been given hope in dark and violent times, so they were to encourage one another. Just as they were held close in the comfort of a loving shepherd, so they were to reach out. And they became known, these early followers of Jesus, for their generosity to all, for the way they cared for the very least and the lost and for the common good. They became known for their love. They became the beloved and loving community. Acknowledgement of what they did for others has been found by archaeologists in letters of authorities from the 400s and 500 AD. And isn't that how we would like to be known? Isn't that what our churches must be today, even in the midst of climates of fear? The beloved community, practicing not exclusion, but the hard work of inclusive love. The opposite of fear, after all, is love. Hearing of the parents in my friend's neighborhood, recalling school incident headlines, having read that there have been 23 school shootings so far in 2022, I want all of us to find ways to do the hard work of love. Not as a sweet sentiment, but as a heavy lifting of the shepherd. I'm not a shepherd myself fully. I don't know how to describe the heavy lifting. I could quote scripture about love casting out fear. But on this Mother's Day, let me suggest that one way to describe the work of love is that it is like a mother's love in many ways. And I believe what we need in our churches and in our schools and our homes and public squares is exactly that kind of love, a love that is tender and a love that is fierce. It means naming danger when it threatens. Watch for that car. It means meeting troubles with savvy and with courage. Means paying attention to what's going on around. Like knowing what time it is. Like telling your children to make sure they put on a raincoat because it's supposed to be rainy out there today. And then whatever else there is out there to be aware of, to learn it and to figure out what it means for those you love and how to guide them. Means teaching the difference between right and wrong. It means showing up, being present, caring, not expecting someone else to do it for you. It means having a strong sense of identity of what you are called to do and be. It means a sense of belonging coupled with profound respect and appreciation for others. It means compassion, knowing that we are all in this together. And of course, it can mean getting your heart broken when those we love are hurt. But that can be used to open ourselves in empathy to others who are in pain so that we can hold the pain as well as the beauty of being fully human as God intends us to be. The practice of love can change the soundtrack of fear. Amen.